This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon and welcome to Energy News Roundup with your hosts Aileen Nicol
and myself Angus Blacklock. It has been a very busy day in the political world of Scotland.
Yes, it has indeed. And the main headlines are: John Swinney launches his campaign for the SNP leadership bid at Grassmarket Community Project this morning.
As I speak to you now, John Swinney has just made a landmark announcement regarding his leadership bid for the recently vacated role of First Minister of Scotland. Mr. Swinney is the only official candidate following Humza Yousaf's resignation on Monday.
We'll have more on that story later.
Our correspondent Charlie Fulton spoke exclusively to John Swinney just minutes after his announcement, and he said he backs himself to bring the Scottish National Party together.
Kate Forbes announces she will not be running for First Minister following a lengthy statement on X this afternoon.
And two protests have been taking place outside Holyrood today. But first, the SNP leadership race officially commenced with John Swinney announcing his candidacy for the role of First Minister at Grassmarket Community Project this morning. It marks Mr. Swinney's first leadership bid in 10 years and pleads to finally deliver Scottish independence. Harry Knox has more.
As I speak to you now, John Swinney has just made a landmark announcement regarding his leadership bid for the recently vacated role of First Minister of Scotland. Mr. Swinney is the only official candidate following Humza Yousaf's resignation on Monday as a result of the SNP-Green coalition being broken up.
And it's therefore the right place for me to confirm that I intend to stand for election as leader of the Scottish National Party.
Sitting in the cafe next to where Mr. Swinney is hosting this press conference, you'd never know the difference between a regular Thursday morning and the magnitude of political importance coming from the room next door, with the occasional burst of applause interrupting the usual coffee shop ambiance, and members of the press slowly wandering in and out of the conference room. Mr. Swinney has been synonymous with Scottish politics for over 25 years, even briefly serving as SNP leader in 2000, but resigned in 2004 following poor results in European elections. His career began with the SNP at only 15 years of age. He was elected in 1997 as the MP for Tayside North, before his election win as the SNP leader following Alex Salmond's first resignation in 2000. Following Swinney's resignation in 2004, he became an SNP backbencher and became the Shadow Minister for Finance in 2005. This will mark the first time Mr. Swinney has run for the role of First Minister. And given the importance of the occasion, it's safe to say the atmosphere here is one of relative calmness. Only one television crew waits outside, patiently. He was in line to run for the same role in 2014. However, he ruled himself out and favoured Nicola Sturgeon, who ended up winning in 2014. As his time under Sturgeon as Deputy First Minister, he was criticised for Scottish schools declining rankings for maths and science, followed soon after by the SQA exam controversy, which saw all major parties in Holyrood criticise his school exam system. He was then subject to two motions of no confidence before becoming Scotland's COVID Recovery Secretary in 2021. He retreated to the backbenches once more in 2023. This will go down as a landmark moment in 21st century politics in Scotland. The question on everyone's lips here, at least, is whether SNP will turn a new leaf under new leadership, or will there be more controversy further down the road? Harry Knox, Edinburgh.
Earlier this afternoon, it was announced that Kate Forbes would not contest the SNP leadership bid against Mr. Swinney, and it looks like she will now have a senior role as part of John Swinney's leadership team.
Charlie Fulton managed to grab First Minister hopeful John Swinney moments after he launched his leadership campaign from the Grassmarket Community Project building. He spoke about why he believes he is the ideal candidate to become the next leader of the SNP and First Minister. He also talked about the SNP's leadership woes of the last 12 months and calls for unity within the party going forward.
So first of all, you are a senior member of the SNP, but you're confident that your experience alone will be enough for your leadership campaign?
I think I've built up over the course of my political life a huge learning license over time. 16-year career as a government minister, I know how government works. I know what is required to take good decisions. I've also spent a lot of time engaged in my party, so I understand my party well. I want to bring that together at a moment where my party needs to be made more cohesive, and I think I can offer the leadership to do that.
And obviously last year's leadership contest exposed divides in my party, with Humza Yousaf's competence being under question, and Kate Forbes also was challenged for her views on gay marriage. Are you confident that this year there'll be more smooth sailing?
I think we should have respectful dialogue at all times. So I think people should treat colleagues with courtesy and respect. I've done it all my life. I'll not be changing that just now. I'll be carrying on with that, and I think everybody else should behave in that fashion.
In today's First Minister questions, Douglas Ross and Hamza Yousaf go head-to-head as Ross continues his comments towards John Swinney, making his views clear on the current First Minister leadership context, labelling Swinney as a defeatist nationalist and questioning his past success rate and power.
Members, let's hear Mr. Ross.
John Swinney has confirmed today he will be another divisive nationalist, focused only on independence. His campaign slogan is literally uniting for independence. That means more division for Scotland all over again.
Douglas Ross makes it clear he has no faith in the SNP party, no matter who is leading it, and feels too much damage has already been done. Change needs to happen for Scotland, but is Swinney the man for the job?
But yet again, the SNP are putting party before country and their own problems before the people of Scotland. So isn't it the case that regardless of who the SNP impose, they won't be able to fix this mess and deliver the change Scotland needs?
Ross goes on to comment on the SNP's situation and questions their ability to lead this country to success. With the news of USS vote of no confidence, the SNPs were doing all they could to defend their party.
So with such an abysmal record, no wonder the leader of the nasty party wants to talk about personalities and not policies.
Ross ends the question time with a final jab at SNP's competence in this leadership and denies their ability to continue leading this country to success.
What's the SNP focused on instead? Desperately trying to cling on to power. They are so divided, so chaotic and so dysfunctional that they can't now provide the stable, competent government our country needs.
Kate Forbes announced her decision not to stand against John Swinney in the leadership context on her social media account on X. As part of a long statement this afternoon, she said, "It is now clear from this morning's statement that in John Swinney we have someone who not only understands the need for reform, but has now committed to delivering it."
This is Radio Energy News.
To recap today's headlines, John Swinney has announced that he is running for First Minister, following a speech in Grassmarket this morning. Kate Forbes has announced that she is dropping out of the race to become First Minister, in a lengthy thread on X. In First Minister questions, Douglas Ross said that if John Swinney became First Minister, the country would only become more divided.
Still to come on today's show, two protests were taking place outside of Holyrood, with Edinburgh Action for Palestine campaigning outside, protesting for the government's lack of involvement and aid for the country. Meanwhile, others are complaining of new power lines being placed nationwide. And finally, it's a weekend for live music as Stag and Dagger returns to Edinburgh following its huge success last year.
But first, we are now joined by Yasmin Williamson, who has all the latest with the national and international news.
Israel has been accused of war crimes after the killing of West Bank Boy. Descending onto the streets of where they usually play, several boys were caught in the street of the occupied West Bank. Moments later, two dead boys lay on the street, Basil 15 and Adam 8. Video footage has revealed shops closing quickly as the Israel military arrived in Jenin, a city in the West Bank, which is Palestinian territory and unlike Gaza, is not run by Hamas. Six armoured vehicles headed towards the boys where at least 11 shots were fired onto the street. Two shots hit Basil in the chest and hit 8-year-old Adam in the head. Ben So, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Counterterrorism, has stated that there are questions on if it was lawful to use the lethal force on Basil if he was holding an explosive. But in regards to Adam's case, there have been reports that humanitarian laws were violated. Experts agree the incident should be investigated further. Dozens of pro-Palestinian protests have been dotted around universities in the US. Although demonstrators can still be seen at the University of California in Los Angeles, the protest area has been mostly cleared by the police. Barricades that were found at the centre of the campus have been dismantled and the tents have been taken down. Confirmation from the LAPD on the number of arrests are still to be confirmed, but numbers are expected to be high. The protesters have been detained with their hands tied behind their backs. Protesters report that rubber bullets were utilised by the forces. Loud bangs have been reported, which is a mix between the police using flash bangs and protesters setting off fireworks. Over thousands of arrests have been made across universities in the US. Glasgow company has made history on the moon after the US firm Intuitive Machines landed their Nova C moon on the moon. The Scottish company worked with colleagues in Sweden to co-create a vital component of the probe, a power conditioning and distribution system named the Starbucks Mini. Taking powers from the lander solar panel, it distributes power around the probe. The team in Glasgow was led by Chief Technology Officer Andrew Strain, who has stated that the mission will herald a new era of lunar exploration. Collective cats commit disappearing act in Lanarkshire. Pepe, half-blind, was found 10 miles from home after being found in Motherwell. At least 9 other cats have disappeared from East Lanarkshire. Owner of Pepe, Tracy McCulloch, stated this could not be a coincidence, so her daughter set up a Facebook page to solve the mystery. No evidence shows that the cats are being picked up by anyone, but Roger Tabor, a naturalist, states he thinks somebody is up to no good.
Now, we're back at Holyrood, but not to follow the SNP leadership race. Edinburgh Action for Palestine continued their resilient effort with protests. One member of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign affiliate has resorted to hunger strikes despite mass support from the public. Jasper Peck has more from Holyrood.
Edinburgh Action for Palestine have continued to operate their encampment outside Scottish Parliament. The protest has continued since April 26th and has expressed frustration regarding Parliament's reluctance to engage with their demonstration.
We've received no constructive response from Parliament. We've seen almost no coverage from the media. There is a complete effort to ignore this movement and to not give us anything, despite the fact that the public is on our side and the public opinion is massively in favour of a ceasefire. The Scottish Government is doing nothing to further progress that beyond just making the statement that they support a ceasefire.
The protesters claim Israel to be committing a genocide in Palestine and have expressed outrage regarding the arms deals between the UK government and Israel. Despite an ongoing hunger strike, Parliament has still yet to engage with demonstrators.
We have a camper on hunger strike. They're going into sixth day of their hunger strike today, and they've received no response from Parliament, no respect for what's being done.
Protesters claim to maintain their resolve despite absence of Parliament.
Since October the 7th, the movement has massively changed. Huge numbers of people have joined the movement who haven't been involved before, but the objectives, I believe, have stayed the same, because the objectives have been clear since the foundation of the Zionist state and since the beginning of this the settler colonial project of Israel. They are boycott, divestment and sanctions. They are cutting ties with Israel. They are condemning the violence that is against them. But we are building a movement here to fight for the full liberation of Palestine, and that mission will not have succeeded, and we will not rest until Palestine is free from the river to the sea.
A protest has formed outside of Holyrood today to express concerns about the impact of the newly proposed 400 kilowatts power lines planted across Scotland. NFU Scotland out about their concerns. Sky Donald reports.
Today, protesters gathered around Holyrood to express concerns against the Scottish and Southern Electricity Network's newly proposed 400 kilovolt power lines planned across Scotland. This protest has come before the Scottish and Southern's Electricity Network's scheduled consultation event at the end of May 2024, in which they will set out the options for the final substation site, planning boundaries and overhead line alignments. There is a drive to achieve a net zero by 2045. The government have accordingly decided to heavily invest in renewable energy and the infrastructure that comes with it. We spoke to a protester who lives in Kintore, which is at the start of the line. She said,
I think it's just getting out of hand now that rural Scotland's now been decimated.
We also spoke to another protester who said,
I think we're hoping to see the politicians recognise that there's a very, very deep mistrust of the process. We like to see a consultation that's much more effective. SSEN's consultation has been very, very poor, almost invisible. And we'd like the nation to think again.
Yeah.
There is a better technology. Why should the UK be putting in technology that's 100 years old when the whole of Europe are putting in technology that's 5, 10, 15 years old and is much, much more efficient?
And now for a roundup of the latest sports news in and around Edinburgh, here's James Smith.
Thank you, Angus. Musselburgh are now out of the league title race in the East of Scotland division after their 3-2 defeat away to Jeanfield Swift. This now confirms Broxburn are the league champions. Hearts women were defeated 3-0 by Rangers women last night. They remain fourth in the league table. Rangers now sit level on points with leader Celtic and are only behind on goal difference. Hibs women were also in league action last night as they suffered a disappointing 3-2 defeat to Partick Thistle. This is Hibs' fifth league defeat in a row and are now only a point ahead of sixth place Partick Thistle. The SFA have released a statement saying the VAR independent review panel have met to discuss key match incidents. Despite having a 97.8% success rate when VAR has intervened, the panel has revealed that 26 separate incidents have resulted in an incorrect decision, four of which have affected Hibs or Hearts. And finally, Edinburgh's Georgia Adderley is part of the Scottish women's team taking part in the European Team Squash Championships today in Switzerland. The women's team take on home nation Wales, and the men's team progress through to the quarterfinals after a victory against Portugal earlier this morning. If you want to hear more in-depth discussion on the recent VAR statement, as well as a look at some other sports in and around the capital, check out the Talk of the Toon podcast.
And finally, we've had a heavy day. Angus, what would you do to take your mind off all the political news?
I would love to go and listen to some live music.
Well, you're in luck, as tomorrow evening the warm-up party for Scotland's biggest multi-venue music festival starts to get people ready and hyped up for almost 40 local bands, performing in six Edinburgh venues along Cowgate this Saturday. Kiara Fabian reports.
The Stag and Dagger Festival has returned to Edinburgh after its huge success last year. The festival will take place across six venues around Cowgate with almost 40 local artists performing. Stag and Dagger was established in 2009 but only started doing shows in Edinburgh last year, which officially made it Scotland's biggest multi-venue festival. The organiser dedicated this festival to support grassroots venues, which are currently struggling more than ever whilst making new music more accessible to broader crowds. I spoke to Lewis Spears, whose band Picture the Scene will perform at Cavern Voltaire this Saturday, about this festival and its benefits to Edinburgh's music scene.
It's kind of a new festival. It started last year, but it's all set up by like the biggest promoters in the country, so it's really well recognised by the industry as for like up-and-coming bands. So stoked to be on the lineup.
So how much exposure would you usually get from these events?
We'll find out, I suppose, because this is like a newer festival, but when we've played similar things in the past, it can depend. Like, if you get a decent crowd, it can really help, like, building fans and followers that otherwise wouldn't have seen you. But I think it's the most helpful for bands because you're meeting other promoters and other, like, industry people that have specifically come to support the event and then finding you as, like, byproduct of that.
And how important would you say are events like this for the local music scene?
It's so important because obviously they're all independently run. So you've got independent companies promoting independent bands in independent venues. Not only is it bringing a spotlight to them, but it's bringing a lot of revenue and attention to these venues as well. So hopefully everybody wins. I'm really excited by it. I think we need more things like it.
The warm-up party tomorrow has four bands performing and will be free entry for everyone who has a ticket to the festival.
To round up today's main headlines, John Swinney has emerged as the leading candidate to take over the Scottish National Party after he announced his candidacy for the role this morning in Grassmarket. This coincided with Kate Forbes announcing that she would not be running for the candidacy on her social media this afternoon, but she did hint that she may work in a role under Swinney instead. And pro-Palestine protests have taken place at Holyrood today, with one member resorting to engaging in a hunger strike.
This is Radio Energy Travel.
The M8 is currently restricted in both directions due to a road traffic incident. Road users are advised to take caution and expect longer travel times. One lane blocked and slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle on A720 Edinburgh City Bypass eastbound from the A7 to the A68. Queuing traffic on the A720 Edinburgh City Bypass westbound before the Sheriff Hall roundabout.
Now, the weather on Radio Energy.
Tonight, the south will see cloudy skies scattered with showers moving in from the south towards dawn. The north will remain largely dry with clear skies. The Lothians and Borders will be cloudy with mist and hail fog at times. Cool near the North Sea and coast, there will be highs of 12 degrees and lows of 7 degrees. That wraps up what has been a very busy day for news here in Edinburgh. We hope you've enjoyed listening and have a pleasant evening.
This is Radio Energy News.